At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
Well, tonight, ECG Board terminate 202 non-performing supply contract worth $227 million, with 145 contracts still under scrutiny and could face termination if found to also be non-performing.
Approved the outright termination of 202 of these contracts. The total value of these contracts is estimated at $227 million United States dollars, 1.17 million pounds, 4.08 million euros.
Tonight, we examine details of all of these and ask relevant questions by speaking to people who really understand the sector and who have some answers to provide here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Well, tonight, Energy Minister John Jinapong has confirmed the termination of 202 non-performing contracts by the Board of ECG, amounting to some $227 million, along with additional amount in pounds and euros. John Jinapong says the move is part of a broader effort to clean up the energy sector and boost accountability. He added that his ministry has also introduced performance targets across management levels and recently rolled out a new billing system called Zeus to replace the previous flawed setup. According to the sector minister, ECG has now restored all commercial operations and improved its billing process.
If you compare this year to last year in terms of expenditure, we're spending about 30% or 40% of what was spent in 2024 when it comes to procurement. And we are achieving better results with value for money and ensuring that we adhere to strict procurement procedures and processes. And I'm very happy that we are bringing about all this efficiency in the sector, because the gains we make would be transferred to the ordinary consumer. I can assure you that we are not going to witness the kind of procurements we witnessed over the years. And as minister, I take full responsibility to ensure that they adhere strictly to some of these measures. So far, 347 supply contracts that have failed to deliver goods within the specific areas are up for review. The goods in these containers were not part of the materials locked up at the ports. These are new containers coming up following procurements that were undertaken previously. They are yet to be delivered. The ECG board has approved the outright termination of 202 of these contracts. The total value of these contracts is estimated at $227 million United States dollars, 1.17 million pounds, 4.08 million euros. The remainder of the 145 contracts are being subjected to additional strict scrutiny and may be terminated depending on the findings. We are determined to ensure that we clean the sector.
Well, John Jinapo also indicated that his ministry is currently reviewing 145 energy sector contracts that remain under strict scrutiny after terminating 202 non-performing deals. This remaining contract are being assessed for their value and impact and could be cancelled based on the outcome of the review process that this is undergoing. Listen to the energy minister again.
We are not out of the woods in its entirety, but at least we are seeing significant progress. And if we continue on this trajectory, I'm confident that this sector will see real improvement. Under the instructions of His Excellency the President, I've been directed to review the cash waterfall mechanism allocation to increase efficiency, transparency, and equity in its operations. We are making some additional savings, and we want to ensure that those savings are applied in a judicious and efficient manner to bring about overall efficiency in the sector. I'm happy to note that as a result of these policy interventions, ECG's monthly revenues is witnessing some significant increase. This increase represents about 47.3% increment as compared to same period last year. And so as you can see, we are seeing some real significant increase in revenues, but because of the huge challenges and the debt that we encountered, we need to pursue additional policy measures to ensure that we put the power sector on an even keel.
So that is the energy minister. And he spoke about an array of issues that confront the energy sector, as well as debt in the sector. You all know that the government has today introduced the one Ghana cedi per liter of fuel in order to help it defray the debt in the energy sector. And that has also generated its own issues. Now, the energy minister said the Electricity Company of Ghana, for example, is burdened with a massive 67 billion Ghana cedis debt, despite the state receiving over 45 billion in SLR events. Now, the sector, he said, is grappling with unplanned liquid fuel cost due to rising demand and aging infrastructure, prompting the reintroduction of the D-levy to create dedicated funding for fuel purchase. I mean, and this morning, you've seen the discussions about this particular one Ghana cedi per liter levy that a lot of people classify as D-levy. I mean, it's been here. The government says it is being used to deal with the energy sector debt and also to buy liquid fuel. We'll be listening to the energy minister talk about the debt of the ECG and what they plan or what they intend doing to deal with it. Now, he's been speaking as part of this particular deliberation in painting the picture about the sort of, you know, debt the energy sector or ECG, you know, is confronted with. We'll be speaking to the energy ministry itself to understand, you know, what is going on. And again, we'll be speaking to past government officials to understand what the issues are. This is the Top Story on Joy 99.7 FM. All right, this is still Top Story brought to you by Telecel Connect and Energies. Let's bring in Richmond Roxon, who is spokesperson and head of COMS at the Energy Ministry. Richmond, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, let's understand. The minister says ECG is owing a lot of money. He put it at 67 billion Ghana cedis debt. Tell us more about it.
Yeah, good evening, Grace, and thank you for the opportunity. Yes. As the minister rightly captured, there are several indebtedness that you attribute to ECG, from purchasing of power suppliers as well, and then when it comes to ancillaries, you would notice that if you have a company that over the period has acquired over 2,500 worth of goods sitting there, and these are non-essential goods, definitely the company will have the challenges that it's had over the period. What the ministry has done through the leadership of the minister is to rationalize some of these things and then ensure that some of the causes of ECG's indebtedness are dealt with.
So what are the main causes or contributors to this debt?
As I mentioned, one, they owe suppliers. If you have over 2,500 containers sitting there and you keep purchasing non-essential goods, definitely you're going to owe. So they purchase cables they're not using, they purchase materials they're not using. Some till 2015, in fact, from 15 years from now, even if they use them judiciously, they will still have excess inventory. So these are some of the procurement practices that has brought us where we are.
Now, he talks about some 347 supply contracts that have failed to deliver goods with specific areas up for review. Now, how long have these containers been in town and what do they contain?
Oh, these are not containers. Like Minister said, these are separate from the goods and equipment that have been sitting there. So these are entirely new goods. The ECG awarded contracted to these suppliers or these service providers. And upon review by ECG and its board, it was realized that either they didn't deliver on time or they delivered substandard goods. And a decision has been made by ECG and its board to terminate this agreement in accordance with the terms of the contract.
And when you terminate, what happens?
Of course, once you go through the legal process and there's a breach. First, let me just take you back. Every contract will have obligations or terms. You look at your terms and your covenants. If there's a breach, you look at the consequences of the breach. One of the options available is termination. So if you have a contract with someone, the person does not perform the obligation he or she has, you have the option of terminating. If you terminate the contract in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract, definitely you are safe. If you do something out of the terms, that is when you're in trouble. And you rest assured that the ministry supervision and the brief that we have from the management and the board, these agreements were terminated in accordance with the terms of the contract.
Okay. Stay with me. Let me bring in Collins Adumakun. He is deputy ranking on Parliament's Energy Committee. He is a former deputy minister of energy. Mr. Adumakun, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, why was ECG giving out contract to purchase items that, according to the ministry, you already had in stock? Why was that? What management style was that?
That would be a difficult question for me to answer. I did not manage it. I got to the ministry, I think, about 6 months to the end of our term. And so it would be a very difficult question for me to answer why ECG signed certain contracts. But I listened to the minister, and the reasons for the termination are non-performance. And as my friend Roxanne said, every contract comes with obligations. And once one party to the contract fails to meet some aspect of his obligation, I think the other party has the right to terminate on the basis of the terms of the contract. So I don't have any problem at all if the board and management of ECG, after reviewing contracts that have been signed, come to the conclusion that because of non-performance, they are terminating the contract. That is well within their rights to do so on the basis of the terms of the contract. And as I said previously, any efforts or reforms within ECG, that to make it more efficient. We, as a minority, we don't intend to be a disruptive minority. We intend to support the minister to achieve his aim.
But during your time as a deputy minister, I'm sure you came across some of these issues at ECG where they were still giving out contract for people to import items that they already had in stock.
The difficulty is that, and I'm sure Roxanne can tell you, we don't micromanage ECG. I mean, EPD contract do not come to the ministry for approval. They go through, we have a board, and they go through their processes. If as and when they exceed a certain level, that they might probably come to the ministry for a discussion. But whilst I was there, personally, within the 6 months that I was there, this particular issue did not come to my attention personally. But I'm saying that the practice has been that you don't see the ministry micromanaging the ECG. But if procurement breaches occurred and the new government has identified those procurement breaches, I think they are well in their rights to help correct it. And as a minority, as I said, we are prepared to support them in that regard.
So, if you say you're prepared to support, do you have any intention to intervene in this? I mean, to play any role to get this matter resolved?
Why should we intervene?
No,
parties go into a contract. One fails to perform a certain obligation under the contract. One party to the contract decides to trigger a remedial clause under the contract. Why do you want the minister, the minority, to intervene? If we are doing so in accordance with the terms of the contract, they are well within their rights.
Okay, what I intended to ask was, would you intend dragging the ministry to understand the details of this? Because it's quite staggering if you listen to the details.
No, that shouldn't be a problem. I mean, Parliament has the right to call the minister for further details. That shouldn't be a problem. You can trade up by a question or by inviting the minister. And let me say that anytime we have extended that invitation to the minister, he has always honored the invitation, and so that shouldn't be a problem.
With your experience as a deputy minister, now as the deputy ranking on Parliament's Energy Committee, you understand the challenges in the sector. One of them is ECG. How do we make ECG efficient going forward?
I have always argued that there's a need to bring in a private player. I'm not for privatization, but I'm for private participation. And if you recall, the manifesto of the NPP also indicated that if we had won power, we would have gone further to bring in a private player, at least at the retail end of the ECG's operations. This morning, listening to the minister, I heard him say that PDS in itself was not a bad idea. I think it was confronted with some challenges.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility, to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
So if you want to bring in a private player to help improve the efficiency of ECG, I'm all for it, my brother. I'm all for it. ECG, of course, over the years, has been one of the challenging agencies under the Energy Ministry because they deal directly with the consumer. Of course, they have their own issues. I mean, we met ECG, and I'm sure Roxanne can confirm, one of the major challenges ECG was having has to do with exchange rates. I mean, as you know, they purchase in dollars and they sell in cedis. So anytime the exchange rate, the CD is depreciating, there's a problem, you know. So I'm happy that we are seeing some gains within the exchange rate situation. I'm hopeful that ECG's next balance sheet should have a reflection of this exchange losses that we used to have, or a reduction of it. And so I'm all for it. Any measures that is geared towards making ECG more efficient I'm happy that the minister reported that the cash water flow mechanism is improving, and that the amount of money they are collecting into the cash water flow mechanism has inched up significantly. That has a direct effect on the commercial laws. What it means is that they are collecting more. That is good news. So all the efforts that they are putting in place, that is pushing them to have that kind of increase in revenue to be sustained. And as I said, as a minority, we'll do everything to support that process.
But if you look at the challenges that we've had with the ECG over the years, as you say, you were not micromanaging ECG. But do you think it's time we consider that so that the ministry could have some, you know, better oversight of the company to save it from, taking on all of these debts that we have to spend years to then defray?
Well, I think I'm not for micromanagement, but situations can arise where new strategies may be adopted. I don't think the minister has to go to ECG every day to check on operational matters or to check on what has happened. Maybe a rigorous reporting line may be instituted so that at the end of every week or every 2 weeks, we have management briefing the minister on progress of work done so far. That I can suggest, but I don't think that it's proper for the minister to micromanage ECG.
Do stay with me. Let me bring in Richard Roxon again, Richmond Roxon. Rich, I mean, you said you've ruled out a new billing system called Zeus. How does it address the failures of the previous system? And, I mean, has it already shown some measurable improvement in revenue collection? Because that is one of the challenges confronting the ECG.
Let me start from where Honorable Collins ended. The truth of the matter is that, yes, no one is interested in micromanaging ECG. And the current energy minister has consistently made that point to them. He's even told the board that he is not interested in their day-to-day management. As a government, his role as a ministry is for policy direction. But we must also not lose sight of the fact that the ministry is the direct supervisor of ECG. And as such, it is important that you put in measures to ensure that some of these practices we've seen in the past do not happen. In fact, the minister has made a number of directives since he assumed office. One of the directives that the minister made to ECG and its management is to ensure that non-essential goods are not procured. So that what we've seen in the past where you have several containers come up does not exist anymore. Another policy direction that the minister has asked ECG is that moving forward, the FOB type of contract will not work. What will happen is that if ECG signs a contract with any supplier, the goods must be delivered to the doorstep of ECG. So you take the goods to ECG's warehouse. We don't have the practice where you leave the goods at the port and then you come for your money and then you have demurrage accruing. If we look at ECG's cost when it comes to demurrage now, as we speak, like the minister mentioned today, we'd have to deal with the Minister of Finance to try as much as possible to get tax exemptions for some of the goods that are sitting at the port today. And all these could have been done previously to ensure that the problems that ECG is facing today does not compound or does not get to this level. Another thing the minister has done is that the ministry is not interested in how ECG awards contracts or its procurement processes once you are going in accordance with law. But every quarter, furnish the ministry with your procurement and what has been done so that the ministry can keep tabs on the things that ECG is procuring, whether they are procuring non-essential goods, whether they are procuring equipment that they don't need, the minister will be able to check that. For example, you can't have over 2,500 containers sitting there, and you don't have a single meter in any of those containers. You cannot have over 2,500 containers sitting, and then you don't have a single transformer in all these containers. Yes, you have things that you don't need, but every day I think that you would need as an institution, you have none available. And all these things go back to the supervision of the ministry. And to clarify what Anago also said, the minister's point today was that the NDC as a government has not been against introduction of PSP or private sector participation in ECG. The government policy is that it will not sell ECG. That is out. And that has been the position of His Excellency John Dramani Mahama and the current energy minister when he was deputy power minister in 2015. And you will recall that the process that led to the selection of PDS started at the time under the Compact 2, where the U.S., the two MIDA, gave some money to the government of Ghana, about 500 million United States dollars. Unfortunately, when they came to government, like the minister said, because of selfishness and greed, all the terms that they have put in place to ensure that you have credible companies across the world that had expressed interest in ECG come and assist with it, they changed those rules. Eventually, they insisted. Most of these companies pulled out, and you had just two companies left. There were three.
If you say they insisted, what do you mean?
No, they changed the rules. As I said, the guidelines for these processes were there. You can go back to the compact too.
But didn't they do that together with the MCC?
You said didn't they do that together
with the agency that was responsible for that particular?
No, it was being managed by MIDA in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, what the government did was to change the rules and the guidelines, which led to a lot of credible companies leaving. Eventually, they were left with three companies. The government took BXC out. It was left with two, and then they awarded it to the Meraldo Consortium, which gave birth to PDS. And you'd all recall the audio where people were sharing or they were discussing shareholding and then trying to keep more. And that is what the minister has said. That approach will not be used. This will be transparent. You will ensure that the original processes that commenced in 2015, that will be done. You have concessionaires. It's encouraging Ghanaians to come in so that at the end of the day, you have ECG improved billing and collection.
Okay. Now, as you say, ECG was procuring items that, the company did not need. Is there any consideration for some heads to roll them if they were buying items that they didn't need, just adding on to the debt the company was incurring?
The truth of the matter is that investigations have been ongoing. The ministry referred this matter to NIB, Yoko, and also the police service. Work has been ongoing. For sure that the former MD's caution statement had been taken already, together with some staff. Some senior staff were asked to step aside some time back. We are relying squarely on NIB and the Office of the Attorney General to investigate and prosecute. You know, the ministry does not have prosecutorial powers. And under Article 88 of our Constitution, it's only the Attorney General that will be able to initiate prosecutions. And that is where we are. The ministry is following up, engaging the Office of the Attorney General and the Security Services to ensure that these procurement breaches are dealt with.
But has the new app, the Zeus app, shown any improvement in revenue collection?
Absolutely. If you look at the last 3 months, one was done in record time. The transition was done within 3 months. As we speak, revenues have gone up. If you look at the updates the minister gave not too long ago, if you compare the period from last year, January, to June, and you compare it with the same period, revenues have gone up by about 47%, which is significant. And it is not only because of the billing up, it's because of the commitment shown by the minister, the management, and the board. For the first time in the history of this country, the minister has signed performance contracts with the current management.
Okay.
The management has also signed performance contracts with regional and district management. They are all motivated to ensure that they deliver results, because if you don't meet your performance contracts, there are consequences. And that has also motivated them to put in more efforts. And the results are showing.
All right, I'm grateful to you, Richmond Roxon. He is spokesperson and head of comms for the Energy Ministry, for speaking to us. Also grateful to you, Collins Adomakun. He is a former deputy minister of the Energy Ministry and deputy ranking on Parliament's Energy Committee. This has been Top Story. Up next is Newsnight.